Presenting Orson Welles as the Third Man.
That was the shot that killed Harry Lime. He died in a sewer beneath Vienna, as those of you know who saw the movie The Third Man. Yes, that was the end of Harry Lime. But it was not the beginning. Harry Lime had many lives, and I can recount all of them. How do I know? It's very simple. Because my name is Harry Lime. I've always had a fondness for the exception that breaks the rule. Maybe it's because I like to break rules myself. Take a smile, for instance. One of the intangibles of life, so everyone says. But what about that smile of the Cheshire Cats? That grin hung around long after Puss had vanished. You call that intangible? Like the smile I'm going to tell you about. The horrid humor of that painted smile lingered long after the man who wore it was quite dead. As I'd come to Taormina for a holiday, the circumstances were ideal. I had some extra cash in my pocket, the climate was fine, and the local police were completely disinterested in me. But I no sooner entered my room at the San Domenico Hotel, was testing the mattress, as a matter of fact, when a long-bladed Sicilian knife whispered past my ear and wickedly winked at me from the bedpost. Since I was naturally somewhat curious, I turned rather quickly, and standing there in the doorway was a slim man with pale brown hair, pale monkey eyes, and the face of a tragedian.
Why, Tony,
you old clown.
Harry, you old devil, what bring you to Taormina?
Money, old friend. The climate, a certain weariness, and this happens to be one of the last places in the world where Harry Lime is welcome. You?
Same old reason, the circus is playing here.
A circus in Sicily?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that bringing coals to Newcastle, old man?
Not everyone is laughing and happy in Sicily, and clowning is my business. I was born to make people laugh.
A clown. Yes, you were born the greatest con man of them all.
No, Harry. I have a certain talent for crime, perhaps sleight of hand, facility with a knife, but not the heart. I'm afraid I'm an honest man, Harry.
We left the midway crowd, the lights and the blaring calliope. Then the growl of jungle beasts came to me. We approached a small dressing tent. Then the clown humbly called for his friend.
Nola! Nola! Are you in there?
You again, Antonio? What is it?
I want to see you.
You will see me later. Go away.
But I have a surprise for you, Nola. A wonderful surprise.
A surprise? A present, perhaps?
The canvas flap snapped back and she stepped into the yellow glare of the lamps. Nola. Hair as black as though it had been poured out of an ink bottle. Body sinuous, graceful, like a cat's. And she was like a cat. And her ice-gray eyes flared strangely when she looked at me.
So this is your wonderful surprise, Antonio.
Nola, this is Harry Lime, my friend.
I'm always happy to meet a friend.
The way she said it, the way she was looking at me, made it seem like we were all alone. Just Nola and me. I know what kind of female. I also knew that Tony was in for a bad time. Funny thing, he knew it too. Told me about it a little later while he was putting on his clown makeup.
So you feel sorry for me, Harry?
Well, I don't feel one way or the other about anyone, but if you fancy Nola for yourself, you're a chump, old man.
I know.
Oh? And you like to be kicked in the teeth, is that it?
Look at me, my friend. What is there about me for a woman to love? There is a great deal about Nola to love.
Mm-hmm. To admire, to desire, yeah. To love?
You're forgetting something.
I am?
All clowns suffer.
Oh, yes.
Paint a smile on their face to hide a broken heart.
Ah, really, old man. Don't be trite.
Nola's like a fever in the blood, a disease. She's not good for me, perhaps, but the pain of loving her is better than the ecstasy of loving any other woman.
I agree with you, Tony. You never would have made a good confidence man.
You think the clown white has gone deeper than my face? That my thinking has become as theatrical as my profession? Perhaps. But the show is about to begin.
Help me with my wig, Harry.
Oh, there you are.
Now, am I not the funny man?
Yeah, very funny.
See you later, my friend. Now, Antonio must go to clown and dance like a puppet.
It wasn't a very big circus, but it looked like the greatest thing on earth to the folks in Taormina. They laughed at Tony's antics till they cried, mooed, nodded at the trapeze corners, and gasped at Nola's animal act. Then came the grand climax.
Signore, signorina, you have seen the beautiful Nola command the tigers, the pumas, the lions, like they were house kittens. Now you shall see the unbelievable. Antonio, the great clown, shall enter the cage of the black puma and make him dance.
And he did. He did. Going into the main animal cage, Tony pantomimed his bravery to the crowd. He cracked his whip. He strutted. He proved to himself, at least, that he was afraid of nothing on four legs. Then a smaller cage was rolled in and opened on the main cage, and another clown in the costume of the black puma sprang inside with Tony. First, my friend was terrified. Then he saw the puma was as frightened as he, and they made friends and waltzed around the cage together as the audience screamed with mirth. It was as simple as that. But Tony's clowning was touched with genius. In his performance, there was all the posturing and heartbreak and fear of the world. And by conquering his fear in the shape of the puma, he put a happy ending to his story, and everybody went home happy. There's everybody but Tony. I saw him after the show waiting for Nola. She ran up from the main tent, still carrying her animal, but...
Nola! Nola!
Get out of my way!
But, Nola, I must talk
Take
to
your
you.
Hand off me! Let me go!
Her whip, cruel and quick as a puma's claw, cut across his face. I could see a livid wheel rising under his clown white. But Tony took it. Took it silently. Just looked after Nola with big eyes. And he saw me. Thanks for the show, Tony. It was swell, but the rest of the night's on me. Now let's do Taormina, Like men.
You will excuse me tonight, my friend. Tomorrow I'll come to the hotel. Tomorrow.
I went back to my monastic cell to do some thinking. I say cell, call it that, because the Hotel San Domenico, Taormina, was in the 16th century a monastery. And now in the 20th century, it's a very un-monk-like character who walked its sacred tiles and pondered on human passion. And then I had no reason not to answer the door. Yeah? Hello? She was small. Very young. Very dewy. You know, the moonlight for hair and stars for eyes sort of thing.
You are Mr. Harry Light?
I am.
I am Therese.
That's enchanting.
You will invite me in. I would speak with you.
Well, I can't imagine a more satisfactory conversation.
I will sit here.
If you like. It's all very femme fatale, very intriguing, but just how do you happen to know my name?
I asked the manager.
And they do make things easy in Taormina, don't they?
What?
It's unimportant.
I just arrived at the hotel a while ago. I am staying here, too.
Alone?
Oh, yes.
I see.
You do know Antonio Vega?
Oh, sly dog. You're another one of his girls, is that it?
I am his only girl.
Oh, of course.
I am his daughter. The manager told me that Papa was here to see you this afternoon. He said you were his old friend. Is that so funny?
No, don't start that again.
I came to you, Mr. Lime, because I could not find Papa. He wrote to me he was going to be here. He is a traveling salesman, you know.
Oh, no.
So when school closed for vacation, instead of staying there as usual, I thought I'd come here and surprise Papa.
Papa and me,
Hasn't he told you about me?
Yes, of course.
Then you know where he is. I can go to him.
Well, as it so happens, your father's coming to the hotel tomorrow, my dear. Why don't you wait for him here and really surprise him,
What a wonderful idea. Oh, Mr. Lime, I could kiss you.
Oh, no. breakfasted with the young lady on the terrace. Well, they're part of the public.
Harry, is that you?
Oh, pardon me, you are busy.
Papa! Oh, Papa!
Therese!
Oh, kiss her, Tony. Go on. I'm sure I would if I had such a daughter.
Oh, it's so wonderful to see you, Papa. Be with you again.
But, Kitten, you should have stayed at the school.
Your cheek. Oh, Papa, what happened to your poor cheek? That terrible scar.
It was an accident, Therese. Another reason why you must not stay. It is impossible. You understand the situation, Harry.
Your situation. Why should not a daughter be with her papa?
It is impossible. You will go back to school like a good girl, yes? Or to the relatives in Naples.
No!
Therese?
No! No, no, no! I will never leave you, even if you don't want me around!
Well, just who won that round, Tony, old man?
What can I do, my friend?
Why not tell her the truth?
And bring her shame? Therese thinks of me as a businessman, dignified, honorable. What would she say if her father told her that he was a clown?
You're going to have to tell her something.
I said I was an honest man, my friend. That isn't true.
Well, what do? Pick the pockets of the other clowns?
I smuggle emeralds.
Again?
I smuggle emeralds. It was for her, Harry, Therese. How could I support her in such a fine fashion, good clothes, private schools, on the earnings of a clown in a wandering circus?
I hadn't thought about it much. Didn't even know your kitten existed, you see.
That is one of many things I haven't told you, my old friend. Forgive me.
Forgiven, but the emeralds.
I've been very successful in the smuggling trade, but very careful. Over the years, I've saved a small fortune. And now I want to ask you a favor.
For the fortune? Anything, old man, for the fortune.
It's for Therese when she reaches 21. If anything should happen to me before, see that she gets it.
Why be so morbid?
The way things are lately, you know, Harry, with my life, with Nola, I think my luck's changed.
Well, how do you know I won't keep the fortune for myself, old man?
The same way I know you won't inform on me to the police.
Yeah. You figure this pot's too smart to call the kettle black, is that it?
That's one way of putting it. Come to the circus tomorrow night, Harry. I'll show you where my savings are hidden.
Yes, what the devil do you mean, waking a man up in the middle of the night?
That is Mr. Lime, Mr. Harry Lime.
Who's calling?
This is Signor Borgia, Questore of Taormina, Department of Public Safety.
The police?
And it is not midnight, Mr. Lime, but 9 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that's a matter of opinion, sir.
You will do me the great favor of coming to my office within the hour.
Well, I'll do nothing of the sort, Borgia. As I told you...
You will come, or you will become a fool. You are already under surveillance.
Well, I'll do you the great favor, Questore Borgia.
Your generosity is exceeded only by your wisdom, Signor. Within the hour.
I never argue with a policeman over the telephone, beyond a certain point. And when he bears the name of Borgia... Well, when in Taormina, do what the Tarmaniacs do, I suppose. I visited the Questore. I found him a small, alert man, all spit and polish. He eyed me like a hungry robin views a fat worm.
Sit down. Sit down, Signor Lime. You are a friend of Antonio Vegas?
Oh, Antonio must have many friends, I should think.
Too many. At one time, this Vegas was in your profession. A confidence man.
Tony's a good clown.
And a smart one. His buffoon makeup hides more than the proverbial broken heart, doesn't it?
Does it?
Vegas heads a smuggling ring, emeralds. Are you trying to tell me you know nothing about the traffic?
I've never dabbled in emeralds, Borgia, old man. They're too hot for my blood. How is it that I always get into these things? Here I was about to do Tony a favor. And there's no profit in it for me at all. Well, I went to his dressing room that night, and he showed me his fortune, all tucked away under a false bottom of his costume trunk, and all in American bills of high denomination. It's a pity to see it lying there just doing nothing.
And here is something else for you to see. Hidden in this bladder I use for one of my props.
Emeralds. Perfectly cut. Some of them are as big as robin's eggs.
I deal in nothing but the finest merchandise.
Evidently. Who's your fence?
Lazzetti.
Huh? One of the best.
I find him to be the best.
Tony, you're one of the few men I've ever underestimated.
Who would suspect the clown?
Yes, but I must warn you, Tony, that there are some...
You say Mr. Vegas is in this tent?
Si, senorita.
There is.
Yes, you must have followed me here.
Quick, help me hide these.
Yeah.
Papa, I have found you.
Yes, there is. You have found me. And now you know what your father really is.
He's the best...
A clown. I think it is too wonderful. Oh, Papa, did you think I would look down on you because you were a clown in a circus? It is much finer than a traveling salesman. You are angry because I found you out?
Why should he be?
What can I do, Harry?
Well, I guess give her a pass to the show. I'll take charge of her.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. What can I do?
Oh, not... Am I intruding, Antonio? Nola.
There were no introductions. I took Therese out of there as soon as possible, but before we left, I caught Nola's eyes on the emeralds. They narrowed like a cat's. Tony's funniest routine began. He's giving the greatest performance of all his life because his daughter is in the audience. The puma cage was wheeled up to the main cage and the door opened. Out came the puma. But no costume clown this way. A very large, very live, and very vicious cat sprang into Tony's cage. It stood there a moment, lashing its tail and blinking in the lights. In that moment, before it sprang at my old friend, I saw Nola's face watching from the tent entrance. Her eyes wide, her lips drawn back in an animal smile. Her hands stretched before her like claws, as if she were about to attack.
No! 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 Help!
Very quickly. For once, I was glad to see the police. The puma was shot and killed. Nola was apprehended. What was left of Antonio Vegas was taken to the hospital tent. As I said, he found a way out of Taormina. The hard way.
No, don't. Don't cry, kitten. It was an accident.
No, it was no accident. Like the scar on your cheek. She did it. She did it.
I did nothing. It was an accident. Somebody switched the cages.
What do you mean?
Well, Cristore Borgia, I think I can prove differently. It wasn't
you, Signora?
An accident at all.
He lies?
Antonio Vegas is my friend, Signora. You can understand that word, friend. Why should I lie? I saw you switch the cages deliberately.
No, no, I did not. I did not.
And I know why you did.
No. Harry.
It was because of jealousy.
Jealous? Of that clown?
Stop it! Stop it! You shall not laugh at my papa!
Your papa?
Thank you. Thank you, Harry.
I think somebody before me once pointed out that women are very curious creatures. You take Lola, for instance. Lola was quite prepared to murder the man she loved, just out of a fit of jealousy. Some women, of course, indulge in a more refined and less dangerous form of vengeance. They arrange matters for the men they love so that life just seems like death. I sometimes wonder what life would be like without women. So quiet and peaceful. And so very, very dull.